Hare Krishna. Reading from Surrendered to Me, an overview of the Bhagavad Gita. Contents of the Gita summarized. This again is the amazing verse, text 29 of the first chapter, second chapter rather. Some look on the soul as amazing. Some describe him as amazing. And some hear of him as amazing. While others, even after hearing about him, cannot understand him at all. Comment. Ascharyavat means amazing. Pashyati means sees. Vadati means describes. Shrunoti means hears. The first line of this verse says Ascharyavat Pashyati. Some look at the soul as amazing. The second line says, Ascharyavat Vadati. Some people speak about the soul as amazing. And the third line says, Ascharyavat Shrinoti. Some hear about the soul and think of him as amazing. In the first line of Srila Prabhupada's translation, quote, some look on the soul as amazing. Ascharyavat, quote, amazing, is taken to modify, quote, soul, which is the object of the sentence. Srila Baladeva Vidyabhusan has given two more interpretations, whereas the word ascharyavat additionally modifies the sentence's subject and verb. Thus, each line of this verse can be explained in three ways, as the word for, quote, amazing changes from modifying the object, the soul, to modifying the subject and verb. Ascharyavat can modify people, the subject of the sentence. Some people who are amazing look upon the soul. If ascharyavat modifies the verb look, the sentence reads, some people look amazingly at the soul. Depending on how one translates this amazing verse, the people who see the soul are amazing, the soul is amazing, or the power to see the soul is also amazing. The second line, some people describe the soul as amazing, can also be translated in three ways, with vadati, describes, replacing see, sees. Similarly, the third line can be translated in three ways by using the word shrinoti, hears. Text 30 concludes the verses that describe jnana. O descendant of Bharata, this is text 30, he who dwells in the body can never be slain. Therefore, you need not grieve for any living being. As the best of communicators, Krishna has concluded this part of his instructions with a half-verse summary of the soul's eternality. Thus, Krishna has destroyed Arjuna's illusion with knowledge. Proper knowledge leads to proper action. The following section directly attacks Arjuna's desire, based on ignorance, to neglect his duty out of a sense of compassion for his family members. In this next group of verses, 31 through 38, Krishna continues his attempt to convince Arjuna to fight. The motives he stresses here, however, are not based on knowledge, but on fruit of activity and religious duty. In this way, Krishna attacks another of Arjuna's reasons, that is, that he will not be able to enjoy himself after he engages in the battle. Therefore, in text 31 through 33, Krishna presents Arjuna with the argument that dutiful fighting, not fleeing the battlefield, will lead to enjoyment. 31. Considering your specific duty as a Kshatriya, you should know that there is no better engagement for you than fighting on religious principles. And so there is no need for hesitation. Comment. In the previous section, Krishna used arguments based on gyan to induce Arjuna to fight. Now, Krishna will use less elevated principles, ones which promise a material reward. For a Kshatriya, fighting is equivalent to a Brahmin's performance of fire sacrifices. By performing their duties, neither the Kshatriyas nor the Brahmins incur sinful reactions. Therefore, Krishna argues that Arjuna will not suffer sinful reactions in fighting the battle of Kurukshetra. 32. O Partha, happy are the Kshatriyas to whom such fighting opportunities come unsought, opening for them the doors of the heavenly planets. Comment. The heavenly planets are the goal of those following the karma kanda processes. Krishna tells Arjuna, who fears for his relatives' welfare, that he can send them to the heavenly planets by defeating them in battle. Arjuna too will gain everything by fighting. If he doesn't fight, he will lose all. 33. If, however, you do not perform your religious duty of fighting, then you will certainly incur sins for neglecting your duties, and thus lose your reputation as a fighter. Comment. This verse specifically defeats Arjuna's argument that he will incur sin by fighting. Rather, the opposite is true. In text 33 through 37, Krishna describes additional losses Arjuna will suffer if he neglects his duty. Arjuna thinks it will be more noble to leave the battlefield, but Krishna argues otherwise. 34. People will always speak of your infamy, and for a respectable person, dishonor is worse than death. Comment. We may question why a devotee like Arjuna should be concerned about honor or dishonor. We should understand that in this section of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is not speaking to Arjuna on the transcendental platform of devotional service. Rather, he is addressing Arjuna's brave Kshatriya spirit. The pain of a disgraced life will be more painful than death itself for a warrior like Arjuna. Srila Prabhupada paraphrases Krishna's admonishments in his purport. Both as friend and philosopher to Arjuna, Lord Krishna now gives his final judgment regarding Arjuna's refusal to fight. The Lord says, Arjuna, if you leave the battlefield before the battle even begins, people will call you a coward. And if you think that people may call you bad names, but you will save your life by fleeing the battlefield, then my advice is that you do better to die in the battle. For a respectable man like you, ill fame is worse than death. For a respectable man like you, ill fame is worse than death. So you should not flee for fear of your life. Better to die in the battle. That will save you from the ill fame of misusing my friendship and from losing your prestige in society. Hare Krishna, we shall end here. And next text is text 35. Very exciting. Hare Krishna.